This morning I wanted to share on the topic, what does it mean to be a member of the family of God? And I won't be preaching in a sense, but I wanted to share with you some thoughts from 1 Corinthians 12 and also from a few other passages of Scripture concerning we as members of the family of God. It's a very big topic, and I won't be speaking on the gifts itself, but I will just be taking some thoughts from there on how we ought to act and do within God's family. So I pray that as we go through these few thoughts, that it will encourage us in the beginning of 2022, as we start the year, that it will encourage us on what does God expect, what does God want of us in 2022. It's a big question. People make their New Year resolutions. This is what I'm going to do, and this is the job I'm going to pursue. I'm going to do this fitness exercise, try and lose weight. I'm going to do further studies. So these are all good and important to each one of us. But I want to focus on our spiritual lives as members of the family of God. The Bible is wonderful because it gives a picture of the family of God in different ways. It describes the family of God as God's kingdom. It describes the family of God as God's people, as God's temple. Scripture describes the family of God as Christ's body. And also, it describes the family of God as Christ's bride, which is when we feast at the wonderful wedding feast of the Lamb, where the church, the family of God, will be his bride and Christ will be the bridegroom. So there's wonderful pictures that the Scripture shows us. So as we go through what it means to be a family of God, I pray and hope that we will think of ourselves in terms of, what is it that God wants me to do in Boroughmwood Baptist Church in 2022? And I pray that as we consider these things and think about it, that God will lead us to be not only a member of the family of God, but to be an active member of the family of God. So before you continue, let's just bow in a word of prayer and commit the word of God into his hands. Father, thank you so much that you are our God and we are your family. It's something that no other religion or faith can understand, that in your word that you have allowed us, sinful people as we are, born again through the Holy Spirit, redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that we can call you Abba Father. Thank you so much, Lord, for this beautiful, beautiful truth. And I pray, Almighty God, that you will stir our hearts, that you will prepare our minds, that we will accept your word gladly, that we will be not only willing to hear with no prejudices in our minds, willing to hear what your word says, and willing to obey them. Help us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So the first thing I want to share with you is God's family. So what is God's family? In 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, here Peter describes writing his letter to the Jewish Christians who were persecuted, and so they were scattered. They were the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem and scattered all in different parts of the land. and they were scattered in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and also in the area of Jerusalem, and also in a few other areas around there. So they were scattered because of persecution. And here Peter is writing his letter to them. And this is how his introduction goes. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. So what is the family of God? The family of God is one who is born again by the Spirit of God, one who has repented of their sins, and one who has trusted in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, who died for their sins, and willing to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, and to receive the gift of eternal life that he offers for all who believe, and the gift of the Holy Spirit that indwelleth one who trusts in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and is willing to follow Jesus in obedience to him. That is a member of the family of God. Now, when you joined Boroughwood Baptist, you had to fill in a form, have some interviews maybe, to be a member of the Boroughwood Baptist Church. So let me just clarify. To be a member of Boroughwood Baptist Church does not qualify you as a member of the family of God. But as a member of the family of God, where you have repented of your sins and trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you qualify to be a member of Boroughwood Baptist Church. So it's not the human aspect which qualifies you to be a member of the family of God. It is through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which the Spirit of God then opens your heart and mind, opens our minds to believe in Jesus Christ, to receive the salvific gift of faith and trust him as Lord and Savior, and to follow him in obedience to his word. I want us to think about it. Think about it really carefully, because let me tell you one simple truth. And the simple truth is this, is that when Christ returns, there are some people who will come to church the following Sunday, because they have come to church and not truly trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior and following him in obedience to his word. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I want us to think about it carefully. So you say, oh yeah, I believe in God. I trust in God. Well, there is a simple truth in a discussion where a few people came up to Jesus and said, Lord, Lord, we know you, we call you Lord. And Jesus said, I do not know you. And the word know there means I don't have a personal relationship with you. And they said, but Lord, we preached in your name. We healed the sick in your name. We raised the dead in your name. So where do you preach in the name of Jesus? Where do we heal in the name of Jesus? It's usually in the church or a Christian conference, isn't it? That's where we hear the word of God. That's where we pray and we heal and, you know, very spiritual. But Jesus said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, workers of wickedness. Would Jesus call preaching the word a wicked work? But Jesus was saying, Depart from me because I do not know you. It's a serious question. Coming to church does not make you a Christian, does not make you part of the family of God. Being part of a Christian family where your parents are Christian doesn't make you a member of the family of God. It is a personal decision in which you have to make. And the hallmark of a true believer in Christ is you will see the fruit of the Holy Spirit coming forth. Not the preaching. I can preach the word of God beautifully. People can say, I'm a man of God. But if I don't put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and repent of my sins and choose to follow him every day in obedience to his word, then I'm not a member of the family of God. Maybe a member of the Baptist church in Claremont where I'm from, but not a member of the family of God. I want us to think about that. And if you haven't really made that decision, that means you are saying, oh, we come to church every Sunday, we thank God, but yet from Monday to Saturday, you are living in sin. The videos you watch are sinful and vulgar. You're watching pornography. You are speaking and yarning dirty jokes with your friends and don't feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit in your heart, then you got to think, am I a true believer in Jesus Christ? Jesus is calling you. Repent. Bend your knee before him. It's a beautiful thing to be a member of the family of God. Let me just share with you one thing. Is that to be a member of the family of God qualifies you to be a member of the Barrowmoor Baptist Church. That is why we have in the church, Claremont Free Church, is that you probably have it here as well, is that whenever you have a baptism, somebody testifies that they've given their life to the Lord, share their testimony, and they go into the waters of baptism, they automatically become a member of the church. That's how it should be, shouldn't it? Every member of the family of God is truly a member of Barrowmoor Baptist. For all of you who are here and those who are listening in. The second point I want to share is that Jesus describes his true family. In Mark 3, 31 to 35, we see that Jesus has been preaching and performing miracles. Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 3, he's performing miracles, many miracles. And then he's been going from one place to another, many different places. Let me just tell you where he went. He went through Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and beyond the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. That's verse 7 and 8 of Mark chapter 3. And the big crowd was following him. Everywhere he went, there was a big crowd. He was healing them. He was preaching the kingdom of God. And he was also telling them that he has come. He has come to save them from their sins. That's the message in Bethlehem, isn't it? We've just gone through Christmas. Today is born to you in Bethlehem a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And so Jesus then chooses his apostles, and then he goes home. Jesus with his apostles, they go to his home. And in verse 20, it says, Jesus goes home where a crowd was gathered again so that he could not even eat. So even when he went home, there was a big crowd there. Jesus had compassion over them. So he kept preaching the word and healing them. He didn't even have time to eat. And his apostles who were with him, they probably didn't have time because they were there with Jesus. Now, his biological family, Mary, Joseph, and his half-brothers and sisters, if there were any, they came to and seized him saying, this is what they say in Mark chapter 3, listen, they came and seized him saying, he is out of his mind. And even the scribes, these are the religious teachers who came down from Jerusalem, they said he was demon-possessed. Now, Jesus responds, and this is how he responds. They told him, Jesus, your family are outside. They want you to go to them. And now, seeing that he was out of his mind, they were not happy. They were not happy with Jesus. Why were they not happy? They were not happy because he didn't have time to eat. He probably didn't have time to rest. The apostles who were around him didn't have time to eat. So they were not happy. So it was like a good concern, but they were upset with him because he wasn't resting, probably. Or he didn't even have time to eat. That's what the scripture says. And so this is how Jesus responds. So when the message came to him that your biological family is outside, Jesus then asks this question. Verse 33, who are my mother and my brothers? And then Jesus answers it in verse 35. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Now, Luke chapter 8 also tells the same story, because when Jesus said, whoever does the will of God, Luke chapter 8 then expounds it better, because the same question came to Jesus in Luke chapter 8, 19 to 21. And Jesus says, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now, Jesus was describing who his true family is. And please don't get me wrong. Jesus was not belittling his biological family. They were upset with Jesus because he didn't have time to eat. He probably didn't have time to rest. They were not happy. He wasn't looking after his health. Probably, I don't know. It doesn't say. But they were upset because the scripture says he didn't even have time to eat. So they had a genuine concern. But they were angry with him. And Jesus responded and said, my brothers and sisters and mother are those who hear the word of God and do it. That is the will of God. So Jesus here describes his true family. So I want us to think about it for a moment. Our biological family is very important to us, and rightfully so. Jesus created that. He created the family. But I want us to think about this, that Jesus, in describing who his true family was, did not describe his biological family, but described his spiritual family. And the reason being is this. The biological family begins here in this earth and ends here in this earth. I tell my wife, I'm sorry, but we won't be married in heaven. I'll only have one bridegroom. That is Christ himself. And we, the church, will be his bride. I will recognize you, but you will not be my wife and I will not be your husband. But you will be my sister in the Lord and I will be your brother in the Lord. Saints, biological family ends here. It begins here and it ends here. But the spiritual family begins in this world and lasts forever. So I want to challenge you, for any one of us who have members of our family who do not know the Lord Jesus, and I challenge you, 2022, the only message that is a genuine message to that member of the family is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you might say, oh, but I have told him. In Zechariah's song, in Luke chapter 2, when Zechariah sang in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, hallelujah. Zechariah was a priest. He knew the Old Testament. He was waiting for the Messiah. And in his lifetime, he saw the Messiah. And you know what he described Jesus as? The horn of David. The horn of salvation. The horn in the Old Testament speaks of one who is powerful. Do you believe that Jesus is powerful to save? Saints, I pray for my family. And I pray for my family. There's my brother-in-law, strong Catholic, did not want to know Christ, did not want to know Christ. I prayed, I shared with him, I prayed. He went back home to Fiji and I heard he died. 2020, passed away. Just said, had some stomach complications. I cried. And then we received the funeral took place, and then we received the videotape of the funeral, and I watched it. And to my amazement, it was conducted in a Baptist church in Fiji. He's a Catholic through and through. And I thought, what's happening? And in that service, the pastor of the church then shared that before he died, he did not call his priest, but he called his nephew, who was an assistant pastor in one of the Assemblies of God churches, and say, bring me a true man of God. I don't want to go to hell. He gave his life to the Lord. My tears of sorrow turned to tears of joy. I believe in my heart God is powerful to save, and he can save your family member. If you trust in him. And so, if your family member does not know Christ, saints, 2022, trust God, that God, who is powerful to save, will save them. Trust God. He is able. And then we come to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 speaks of a variety of gifts. Verses 4 to 6. Now, there is verse 6 that I want to read to you. And verse 6 says this, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. Varieties of gifts, but the same God, the Holy Spirit, who empowers in everyone. Who is everyone? Everyone. Paul here is writing to the Corinthian church, to the family of God, the members of the family of God. So let me just share this truth with you. What that tells us is this. Every believer, if you are a true believer in Jesus Christ, you are a member of the family of God, then every believer has a gift or gifts given by the Holy Spirit. So if you think, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so, yeah, but, you know, I don't have, you have a gift. The Holy Spirit has given you that gift from the moment you were born again by the Spirit of God. You have that gift. I want you to remember that truth. You have a gift or gifts given by the Holy Spirit. So if you don't know what your gift is, then I challenge you, 2022, at least January, February, read the scriptures, speak to the deacon, speak to the senior members of the church here on how can I know what my gift is. Very important that you find out the gift that the Holy Spirit has given you. What is the purpose of this gift? Verse 7 says, into each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So what is the use of this gift? For the common good. What does the common good mean? What it means is this, is that the gift that the Spirit of God gives everyone who is a member of God's family is to be used for God's people, is to be used for God's people, to benefit God's people. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not to benefit the non-believer. The non-believer needs only one message, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But for us who have received Jesus as our Savior, born of the Spirit of God, then the gift given to us is to be used for the good of God's people. I want us to think about that very carefully. So all who are members of the family of God has been given a gift. And so that gift is to be used for the good of the family of God. And then in verses 15 to 20, we see there is a particular verse there that says in verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chooses. The gift that the Holy Spirit gives you is not what you decide on. The Holy Spirit sovereignly gives you that gift. So, what that tells me is this, saints, there is no member of the body of Christ or members of the family of God who is a backbencher. There is none. If you believe that you are born again by the Spirit of God and is a family member of God's family, and for all the years you have come to Boroughmood and have not participated and have not shared your gift within this church, then you are a backbencher and you are living in disobedience to God. You are living in disobedience to God. There is no such thing as when I am born again, I just sit and relax and wait until I go to heaven. Saints, if that is the case, God would have taken you a long time. If that is true, then the moment you receive Christ, you're gone. What reason would God leave you here on this earth full of sin and wickedness and pain and suffering and sickness? Why would he leave you here if the only reason is for you to be born again? There is a reason. And the reason is that the gift that the Holy Spirit gives you is for the common good in God's family. And therefore, you are to hear the word of God and do it. Some of us are so spiritually fat because we just hear the word of God, but no action, isn't it? You eat and eat and eat and eat. You go fat, you burst if you don't do any exercise. Isn't that true? Some of us are spiritually so fat and lethargic that we are just not able to do, are just useless for God. Why? Because we are not acting. All that the Holy Spirit has done means that we are supposed to be active. So the challenge to you is this. If you have not been active as a member of the family of God here in Boroughmood, utilizing the gift that the Holy Spirit has given you, then now is the time to stop living in disobedience. Step forward and play your part. So what is this common good? In verse 21 to 26, we see there is three descriptions that Paul gives. The necessity of the weaker members, the less honorable, and the unpresentable. So there is three groups of people that Paul puts here. The weaker members, the less honorable, and the unpresentable. I'm not going to go into them in detail because it's wonderful if you go through them in detail. But I just want to share that there are members in whom the gift that God has given you are the gifts that are unseen. Who do you see here? So you have seen me, you have seen the musicians singing, the ladies singing, the musicians playing, the Bible readers, the children's story, Nikki sharing the children's story. So the Sister Carol, is it, or who shared the notices. So these are the people you see. So you think, okay, so there is what? Five people who are actually doing that? No. Do you know that for this to actually happen, for the services to happen, do you know that there are people who are doing the administrative work? When I came, I was met by the treasurer, who is doing the treasury work. Do you see the treasury? Probably maybe once a year or twice a year when they give the accounts, the members meeting. How many of you come to the members meeting? Don't put your hands up. But if you haven't, then you're not a member of the family. Do you go to your family meeting? You do. Why don't you come to the family meeting of God? Well, not important to you? Christ says it's important. So, there are many people who are doing things that you don't see. And what does Paul say? Paul says here that we are to honor them, care for them, and protect them. So those that you see often, the vocal ones, the preachers, the Sunday school teachers, those you see are to care for the ones who are not seen. Honor them and protect them. So if ever you think that as a member of the body of Christ, oh, I'm just an administrator, nobody loves me, then I want you to know that you did not choose that, but God called you to that service. He gave you that gift. And God, the Holy Spirit, will satisfy you. It is not about how we feel about the gifts because it's sovereignly given. It is about we actively using that gift within Baramood Baptist Church. Why? For the saints, the common good. So what does it give us when we utilize our gifts? It's in Ephesians chapter 4. There is a verse in Ephesians chapter 4 that says, to equip the saints in the ministry. Verse 13, Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the measure of the stature of the oath. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? All that means is this. The gift that the Holy Spirit has given every member of God's family is to be utilized for the common good for his family. Here in Baramood Baptist, if you're a member of this family, Baramood Baptist Church, for the edification of the family of God to maturity. How does one grow to maturity? Is the work of the Spirit of God is to make us all to be like Christ. That's the maturity. When you describe Christ, you see the fruit of his Spirit coming forth. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That needs to be coming forth. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. That should be coming forth. It's not like, I will only I'll be joyful when things are going right. And I have heard Christians say, no, we got to be true to ourselves. If you're not happy, no, you can't be joyful. Really? Do you think that the Holy Spirit who lives in every one of God's children will say, okay, listen what, I understand how John feels, so I won't exercise my gift of joy, I'll just exercise other gifts. Do you think the Holy Spirit says that? The Holy Spirit will exercise all of his gifts, and one of it is joy. Joy everlasting, isn't it? So is it right to be joyful when things don't go wrong? Absolutely. Spirit of God lives in you and me. And it's one of the fruit. Oh, the fruit is all of them, but joy. Isn't it? This is the word of God. It's not hairy-fairy. This is the word of God. The question is, you have heard, I have heard. Do we do it? Do we trust him? Do we follow it? Or we say, no. We allow the human logic of the world to come in and try and decide which passage of scripture we are happy to take and which passage of scripture doesn't make sense for me as a human being. The last time I know, the scripture telling me is that I am a new creation. That means what I was before is not me any longer. So if I get angry with my wife because she upset me, that's not who I am now. I am a new creation. And so my response in being anger and trying to justify it is sin in the eyes of God. And you say, but it's impossible to live the Christian life. Saints, the Holy Spirit lives the life of Christ in and through us. You and I cannot live that life. That is why God sent his Holy Spirit, so that the life, death, burial, and resurrection on the cross of Calvary permeates in and through our lives. And I just want to end with Psalm 133. The beginning of Psalm 133 says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Saints, the unity is so important in the family of God. And there is two descriptions here. One is the oil. The oil in the Old Testament is used for the anointing of the priests in service in the temple for God. And here it says the oil of Aaron flowing down through his beard onto his sleeves of his coat. Who is our great high priest? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the oil falls from Christ down to all of us. What oil is this? The first verse says, the unity, the oil of unity. It's an oil of joy. An oil of joy. The joy in the unity that the Spirit of God, many different gifts, one Holy Spirit who brings all the family of God in unity. And the second one is the dew. Mount Hermon, the dew of Mount Hermon falling on Mount Zion. Mount Hermon is 250 miles from Mount Zion, which is in Jerusalem. Zion, in the Old Testament, speaks of the people of God. It says, Mount Hermon, which is a coastal, it has a coastal weather, is always having dew and rain. Mount Zion is a plateau, limestone, don't have a lot of water. And it doesn't rain a lot there. So there is no dew on Mount Zion. The dew is Mount Hermon. And here it says is that the dew on Mount Hermon will fall on Mount Zion. How will it fall? It will fall because for there the Lord has commanded the blessing. The Lord has commanded his blessing that the dew on Mount Hermon will fall on Mount Zion. It's a miracle, isn't it? It's a miracle. And because God commands the blessings to fall on his people, the unity that the Holy Spirit brings is a miraculous act of God. When we as a church here in Barramood Baptist are working together, exercising our gifts, and in unity, it is a miracle. A miraculous hand of God through his Holy Spirit uniting each one of us together. I pray that we will be challenged in our hearts that 2022, we will confirm the surety of our salvation, know the gift that God has given us, and act here in this church for the edification of the saints. So I do my work to edify others as others do theirs to edify me, so that we can grow to maturity to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful would this church be, people of God. May God bless us as we take up that challenge for 2022.